patient on, grows weak and faint, to slaughter led without complaint, that spotless life to offer, bear shame and stripes and wounds and death, anguish and mockery. I suffer.
And that is A Lamb of God Goes Uncomplaining Forth, and it is written by our good friend, the Reverend Pastor Mark Smith.
No, it isn't written by me,
Tom. Oh, it's not?
No.
Is it written by Luther?
No. Paul Gerhardt.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is a familiar name in the hymns.
Oh, my, yes. He had 13 hymns he authored on the Lord's Passion. This hymn is based on John 1:29 and Isaiah 53 and is said to be the masterpiece of all Passion hymns, from the first to the last stanza. And originally there were 10 stanzas. It is the praise of God's love unmatched in any other Passion hymn, and it first appeared in an edition of hymns in 1648.
It's the masterpiece of all Passion hymns.
That's what it says.
Wow.
Now, what I'm reading from is Lutheran Worship Hymnal Companion,
uh-huh.
And we received an email here at KFUO as to what is this book. Do you have a copy?
No, not myself.
Yes. It's a Hymnal Companion, and it was edited by Fred L. Precht, and it was under the auspices of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The copyright is 1992.
Yes, right.
Now, it's not
the hymns. It's about 10 years after that hymnal came out.
Yes, mm-hmm. And it's the hymnal just before the one we have now.
Right, Lutheran Worship.
However, I would say 80% of the hymnals in Lutheran worship are also found in here.
Right.
You know, you don't change the history of a hymn just because of that. So if you're at all interested, Lutheran Worship, put out by Concordia Publishing House. I just don't know whether they still have it in stock. And I'll have to ask Henry Gehrke if they've got the new hymnal collection for the new hymnal. Because he was the one that told us about the concordance.
Mm-hmm. They don't have a new companion.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah. Of course, I didn't know about the concordance, and then we find out it was 12 years ago. And here I could have, oh, did I ever use it this week?
Really?
I'm preaching 4 services coming up. You know, you got,
oh, yeah,
Lenten Wednesday,
sure.
Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday,
Good Friday,
and then also Easter Sunday. And I really use that concordance, touching the various words I have in the sermon.
Sure.
So it's really helpful. But Lutheran Worship Hymnal Companion. By the way, I announced to folks that I'm working with Uber and Lyft.
You did share that?
Yes.
So they can watch out for you?
No. Fortunately, you can't call a specific driver. when you call Uber or Lyft, they just contact the driver closest to you in that area on our phones, and then we go pick people up. But I had a very interesting one last night. Of the 350 passengers that I've had since September, this had never happened before. I picked up a gentleman, and it was near Busch Stadium.
Yes.
And he was actually from out of town working on the lights there.
Oh, really?
With a company. And he went over to the motel he had stayed in the previous night, and he walked in, and I was getting my stuff in the car ready, and he walked back out and said, they're filled. They don't have any more room.
Oh, so you had to help him find a hotel.
Well, the problem is, once I cut off the person, I can't start him again.
Oh.
He's got a call. And I said, well, wait a minute. I know there's one around the corner. Let's go there. So we went around the corner, and he went in there. They were filled also.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Goodness.
And he comes back out and said, look, I'll just call another Uber driver. Said, no, come on in. And
So you brought him to your house?
Yes, and so it was $100 a night. No, there was another one across the street we went to, and as I was driving him there, you know, we were talking, and I said, well, you know, I'm a reason I'm doing this, even though I wasn't expecting to get paid for this because my meter wasn't on because he hadn't called, was that I'm a Lutheran pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you're kidding. He was a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
No kidding.
In another state.
Really?
Yeah. And so he took my name and radio program and all this kind of stuff. It was really kind of interesting.
You think he's listening this morning?
I have no idea. He's probably working on the lights.
Uh-huh.
You know, because that was his job. And he wasn't even sure he was going to be overnight tonight. But you get all kinds of individuals. And what an opportunity to witness.
Yeah, sure.
Now, the last person I picked up was out there by the Fox Theater.
Yeah.
And across the street, there's a building. And there were hundreds of cars in parking lots, and it was just jammed. It was hard for me to get to the person I finally did. So when they got in, I said, why were you here today? And they said, oh, President Clinton was talking.
Oh, my son heard him.
Oh, really?
Just yesterday. Were you talking about yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah, my son's where he works, they went and listened to him.
Oh,
you know,
really?
Motivational speaker, you know.
Yeah, they've got six or seven coming there, and he was one of them. And so they got in the cab, and I took them home.
Uh-huh.
But that was, you get a lot of conversation going.
Oh,
like that.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Especially
yeah.
after a speaker like that.
Yes. It was very interesting.
You could talk about all sorts of things.
Yeah. But I told him how much I love that present because I was looking for a big tip.
Oh, you liar.
Okay. All righty.
Boy, I heard that this morning from somebody.
Oh, that's right. Louise called me a liar. All right. Stanza one, please.
All right. A lamb goes uncomplaining forth, the guilt of sinners bearing, and laden with the sins of earth, none else the burden sharing, goes patient on, grows weak and faint, to slaughter led without complaint, that spotless life to offer. He bears the stripes, the wounds, the lies, the mockery, and yet replies, all this I gladly suffer.
What verse does he say, all this I gladly suffer?
That's the first verse.
No. In the Bible. It's the first verse. What a liar.
Okay, where does he say that? All this I gladly suffer.
Okay, I'm going to start it because you know it. You mentioned it
last
few weeks
week?
Ago.
Yeah. For the joy that set before me, endured the cross, despising its shame.
Yeah, for the joy.
Yeah, all this I gladly suffer.
Yes. I'm reading a book on the third use of the law, one of the articles about the third use of the law. And I find it very interesting that the third use of the law is where God informs us of what his will is. And I'm reading the history of how that really got trounced. Even in some Lutheran circles where, for instance, ELCA doesn't believe that what the Word of God says about homosexuality, etc., needs to be followed anymore.
Oh, I know. It's ridiculous.
And so they don't believe in the third use of the law in the sense that they believe that the Holy Spirit moves their heart to believe something. And therefore, whatever they believe, they're kind of like Joel Osteen.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever in your heart, you know, if you have enough faith, it will be completed. But this is very interesting. A lamb goes uncomplaining forth, the guilt of sinners bearing. Tomorrow, I'm going to be talking with Wes Reimnitz. What he's doing, I gave him, well, you were there with us that time. I gave him all those CDs at, what was the place we ate?
Steak and Shake?
Yes.
Was he here this week? Or yes, last week?
No. He's coming tomorrow.
He's coming tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Steak and Shake. Be that as it may. He's going through my CDs trying to do a list of bakerisms. things that, you know, I'll say that.
Yes. Be that as it may, that's interesting.
That's interesting.
And the way you pronounce picture.
Pitcher, and of course, apocalyptic.
Apocalyptic.
Yeah, you can't forget that. But no, things like when you get to heaven, who will you give all the credit to for your salvation? Yes, things like that. But one of them he came across a few years ago. I did a program. It's when you witness, you don't use Bible verses.
Okay.
And he was listening to that when he had a knock on the door. Jehovah Witnesses. So he used what I had said in the program, not using Bible verses. And he said, boy, did it ever work. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow.
Okay. So you don't believe in using Bible verses right out of...
Well, no. If you're talking like to a Southern Baptist and you say...
Depends upon who you're talking to.
Well, of course.
Sure.
You got to look at the religion that they're talking to. So I'm going to describe how you witness without using Bible verses that the people don't believe anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that's going to be tomorrow. But one of the items is that we believe in what's called the vicarious atonement.
Vicarious atonement.
Can you explain that?
Well, vicarious means that our Lord Jesus suffered in our place. He took all our sins upon himself, and he suffered even the pangs of hell as he hung on that cross.
That's what the first verse here just said.
Right. Uh-huh.
The guilt of sinners bearing.
Yes.
And laden with the sins of earth, none else the burden sharing. Now, what's happened in some theological circles, they don't believe in the vicarious atonement. They believe that God loves us and it's his love that saves us, not the sufferings and death of Jesus Christ.
No. He atoned for the sins of the whole world. He atoned for our sins.
Yep.
Everybody's sins.
So we'll be talking about that in a few Wednesdays, I think. But go ahead and read stanza 2.
This Lamb is Christ, the soul's great friend, the Lamb of God, our Savior, whom God the Father chose to send to gain for us his favor. Go forth, my son, the Father said, and free my children from their dread of guilt and condemnation. The wrath and stripes are hard to bear, but by your passion they will share the fruit of your salvation.
Yes. Isn't that interesting? The Father sends Jesus to gain for us his favor. Now, the word favor is also translated as grace. In other words, how do we get to be God's favorite one? Not by any works we do at all. Because what Jesus has done, he's made us a favorite to God the Father by forgiving our sin.
Yes.
Dressing us in the robe of righteousness
so that God sees us as a saint.
Yes. And that's why the Lamb is Christ, the soul's great friend, the Lamb of God, our Savior. And the Father says, free my children from their dread. And what's the dread? Of guilt and
condemnation.
Yes. See, in the day that you sin, death shall be the result.
Right.
And God fulfilled that, except it wasn't our death on the cross.
It was Jesus,
which leads to our death. And I'm not talking about physical death. I'm talking about spiritual death. Remember, we are buried with Christ.
We're buried with Christ in our baptism.
Excellent. So, boy, you know, you're doing so well today. You need to wear your collar every time you come.
No.
You're wearing your collar today for the
Lenten service tonight.
And what time is that at Prince of Peace?
7 p.m.
And what's the church?
Prince of Peace Lutheran Church
in Crestwood. No. What's the church you're talking about?
Oh, Laodicea.
Oh, yeah. I bet that's been received well. We're talking about the...
No, I take that back. I'm working a sermon in advance. Laodicea's Monday, Thursday. Tonight it's going to be Philadelphia.
Oh.
The beloved church.
Yes.
Philadelphia, yes.
That's the one that I used.
So I'm really giving him a lot of good news tonight, but next week it's going to be rough. Laodicea.
Yeah, because you got a lot of Laodiceans in your congregation. I remember preaching there occasionally.
No, they're...
They all confess that they're poor, miserable sinners deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment.
In that sense, we're all Laodiceans.
We're all
poor, miserable sinners.
Okay, speak for yourself. Stanza three, please.
Yes, Father, yes, most willingly, I'll bear what you command me. My will conforms to your decree. I'll do what you have asked me. Oh, wondrous love, what have you done? The Father offers up his Son, desiring our salvation. Oh, love, how strong you are to save. You lay the one into the grave who built the earth's foundation. That's a neat line. You lay the one into the grave who built the earth's foundation. He's laid into the master builder of all creation is laid into the grave.
In the sermon I did on the words of the cross, I thirst. I borrowed a comment from Martin Charlemagne, and all the
bodies of water, streams and the waterfalls would love to quench his thirst.
And I remember that. Yeah,
boy, I've still got that, and I use it occasionally on Good Friday.
I think Martin Charlemagne's sermon is one of the best ones I ever heard outside of the Sermon on the Mount.
And I like his last line where he says,
"Yes,
and even me."
Right. Yeah. No, it's a tremendous sermon. There's like seven words he goes through, and I've often used them for funerals. Take one of the words.
Yeah. Well, I remember you used that for his funeral, too.
Yes, that's right. Martin Charlemagne's funeral.
God rest him.
All right.
Wish we had another.
Well, we do. You know.
The military chaplaincy today needs another Martin Charlemagne, let me tell you.
Yeah, they had a program on here. They need more chaplains, too.
Yes, right.
So we would pray that students would think about that. One of my field workers, Jim Norton, was a chaplain.
Yes.
He's retired now.
Yeah. I think it was a colonel in the
US Army. Up there quite a ways.
He's retired. Retired from the Army or retired from the pastoral ministry?
Or both.
Both, huh?
Yeah.
Enjoying his pension.
Well, actually, he's helping out with another congregation.
Is he? Good for him.
Stanza four.
Lord, when your glory I shall see and taste your kingdom's pleasure, your blood my royal robe shall be, my joy beyond all measure. When I appear before your throne, your righteousness shall be my crown. With these I need not hide me. And there in garments richly wrought, as your own bride shall we be brought to stand in joy beside you.
I know it says this from Isaiah 53, etc., but there's about 30 verses he touches on here.
No kidding.
Well, if you stop and think about it, even this last, that I shall taste your kingdom's pleasure. Remember Jesus says, I'm going to drink again in heaven.
Right.
Your blood, my royal robe shall be. And what color is the robe?
White.
Yes, dipped in the blood of Christ and it's white.
Wash your robes and make them white.
Yes. My joy beyond all measure, you already mentioned that, you know, for the joy that was set before him. When I appear before your throne, your righteousness shall be my crown. Not my righteousness. In other words,
it's his righteousness.
Yes. Because of the glorious exchange.
Exactly.
Explain that.
Well, he takes all of our sins, indeed the sins of the whole world, upon himself and suffers and atones for them all on the cross. It is finished.
Yep.
And in exchange, he gives us his righteousness.
And then the next line, with these I need not hide me. What Bible verses you think comes to your mind immediately?
With these I need not hide me.
Who tried to hide from God? The first name was Adam.
Oh, that's right, hiding in the bushes. I also thought of that passage where he hid Moses in the cleft of a rock.
And only showed him his backside.
Right.
But this one here, we need not hide from God anymore.
Right. No, that's right.
Why? Because in garments richly wrought as your own bride. What's that Bible verse? Where Jesus talks about, I am the
bridegroom.
Yes, yes. Okay. Excellent. And you are the bride. And to stand in joy beside you. Now, I find that one real interesting because there was an argument among the apostles in a few readings ago.
Yes.
What was that about?
Oh, the sons of Zebedee.
Yes.
John and James wanted to sit. Is right? Have I got that right? John,
yes.
And James, right? They wanted to sit one at his right hand and one at his left hand in his glory.
Yes. It's interesting how scholars look at that, because one scholar was mentioning who did end up being at his right and left hand.
Well, the criminals on the cross.
Yeah, I find that interesting. But as Jesus says, it wasn't even his prerogative.
Right.
It was really the Father. And so I hope you get up there with me. Okay. I'll be on the right, and then...
Yeah.
Boy.
A little presumptuous of you, huh, Tom?
Yeah, I think so. I'll be pretty well far down the line.
Yeah, the first shall be last.
Well, you don't
know. As my wife always says, hey, look, I don't care if I'm first or last. I just want to make it there.
Yeah. Yeah, well... you can inform her she's already made it.
She's already made it, right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. That's really going to get into my witnessing tomorrow. So I'm going to hold that in abeyance. But this hymn by Paul Gerhardt, it really captures a perfect summary of the meaning of the cross of Christ. Notice it's in the Lenten season.
Yes.
You're going to be using it?
You know, when I thought about hymns today, and I thought for sure it'd be a Palm Sunday hymn. But, of course, it's also Sunday of the Passion.
Guess
which
what?
Way do you usually go? Do you go Palm Sunday or do you go Sunday of the Passion?
I was so confused that I asked the folks where I'm preaching for next week's bulletin because they have the readings.
Yes.
And none of them are Palm Sunday readings.
Well, see, I think Palm Sunday is covered a lot in Advent now.
That's true.
But you know, when I was a kid,
Palm
Sunday was always Palm Sunday. I don't, you know,
with
I mean,
palms and everything.
Yeah, but now it's the Sunday of the Passion, and I guess I understand it's because not everybody comes to Good Friday service, and that's why, for that reason, you cover
right.
The Passion on the previous Sunday.
Now there is one reading, Zechariah, where
yes.
It talks about him coming in on
yes.
a donkey and such. But the gospel reading is 97 verses long.
Yes, I know.
So I only chose a portion of it.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm doing the sermon on the Philippians reading
mm-hmm.
For Palm Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then I've got all the rest all done, except for Easter. I haven't done Easter yet.
You've got all your services all laid out, all
they need them ahead of time.
Sure.
Because both Maundy, Thursday, and Good Friday, they have, where I'm at right now, up to 12 to 16 pages in the
yeah,
bulletin.
Right, right.
And everything's in there. So they had asked if I could do that ahead of time. And I was really glad I had that concordance.
Oh, yeah, right.
But boy, have we got a tremendous two organists. And when they're both there, the brother plays the piano at the same time.
Wow.
It's a duet, and I've never heard it as good as they do.
No kidding.
Yeah, in fact, I remember I told you I took my wife there.
Yes.
And I was mad at the brother. He wasn't there, so they couldn't play, so she didn't hear it. That was something. All right, next Tuesday?
Planning on it.
Okay, instead of Wednesday.
Yes.
Unless something happens.
Right.
I'm Tom Baker. Tomorrow, Wes Reimnitz. And we'll be talking about Rumination Thursday. Why sometimes don't use Bible verses to witness? We'll talk about that. Until then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.